Good morning. We'll be continuing our talk today from Ephesians. I will be focusing on two verses in chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. Again, we'll be in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. And I will open this up in prayer. Father, we're so grateful again to be in your presence. We thank you, Father God, for the music we heard. We thank you, Lord, for all these things. And we pray that as we're gathered here, Lord, that you will just incline our hearts to you, Lord. Help us to truly understand your words, to take them to heart, to commit them to our lives, and to apply them every single day. And we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. And I'll be reading again from the New American Standard Version. Here we go. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. Amen. Okay, so if we look at Ephesians, if we go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, can you go there real fast, please? Because it kind of gives you the theme as Paul gets started. Here in Ephesians 1, Paul actually tells us two things about the Ephesians. It gives us two different locations while they're actually at the same time. If you look at this verse, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. So we know these about the Ephesians. We know that they are in Ephesus, and at the same time, we know that they are in Jesus. So we know that they are of the world, but they're not of the world. They're in Ephesus, however, they are in the person of Jesus. So we need to understand that is a theme here in Ephesians that Paul is getting to. Twice already in chapter 2, Paul has painted a portrait of life outside of Christ and life inside of Christ. And here in chapter 4, he's also given us that same picture. This is how the Ephesians, this is how you used to look when you were outside of Christ. And now, Ephesians, this is how you look when you are in Christ. You are in Ephesus, but even in Ephesus, you are still in Christ. You never leave that position. Never. So, if we go now to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, we recall these words from Paul. Paul, he urged the Ephesians to live a life worthy of the calling they had received. Paul says, this is how you are to live. But now, when we get to verses 17 to 24, Paul tells him, this is how you're going to do it. So in one, he tells him how, but now or what to do. But now here, he's going to tell him, this is how you are to live according to that call that you received. This is how you do it. So first, Paul says, you're going to leave the former life behind once and for all. So those verses we read in chapter 4, verses 17, 18, and 19, they depict life outside of Christ. They depict life in darkness. They depict life under deception. They depict lie and deceit and ignorance. And what John called lustings of the eyes, of the flesh, and the pride of life. All those things represent life in Adam, life outside of Christ. And Paul tells the Ephesians, you are now to live that life behind. Leave it behind. Now, as we read this letter, we know this, that Paul has been in Ephesus for about 2-3 years. And while he was their pastor. So Paul has already taught them all these things. So here in this letter, he's just reminding them, this is who you were. You know that, Ephesian believers, that this is what you were. But not any longer. You are not to live that kind of lifestyle. You're going to leave it all behind once and for all. Why? Why should we do that, Paul? Well, they already know, but because Christ called you, Christ called us to a new standard, to new values, to new principles. And all these things, they clash with the old life. They're incongruent. They're not consistent. They don't match up very well. So Paul says, you leave it all behind, you leave the old behind, you leave the darkness behind, you've came into the light, and there is where you're supposed to live this new life. You live it in Christ. You live it in Christ. So Paul reminds them about their former unregenerate lives. Yeah, you were in Adam, and in Adam, it's a world outside of Christ. And we know this. We read it last week. We talked about it for 2 weeks now, that in Ephesus, life outside of Christ, it's sinful. It's dark. It's futile. It's callous. It's stubborn. It's a hard heart. People are spiritually ignorant, and they're seeped in all sorts of immorality. Now, does that mean that people are as bad as they can be? No, no. The Bible's not saying that they're as bad as they can be. But what the Bible is saying, they're still in Adam. And being in Adam is bad enough to get them to hell. And that's the problem. Being in Adam doesn't matter how good you think you are. If you're in Adam, you're on the wrong road. You're headed in the wrong direction. Paul says, you Ephesians, that's where you guys were at before, but not anymore. Why? Because verse 20 gives us this. But you did not learn Christ in this way. That's why. Because you learned Christ. You learned Christ, and that changed everything for you. It changed your life upside down. Or some would say right side up. You're now gone from darkness to light. From lie to truth. From being in Adam to being in Christ. Because you learned. You learned Christ. Not that you know about Christ, because you can know about Christ and still go to hell. But Paul says, no, no, you learned him. You learned specifically about him. You learn him. And because you learn him, Paul says, now get on with your new life. Get on with your new life and leave the old life behind. Leave it all behind. So last week we studied last Sunday to learn Christ. So what is it to learn Christ? Because Paul says, but you did not learn Christ in this way. How did you learn Christ? Because to learn Christ is to fully embrace Jesus in all that makes him Christ. Embrace Jesus in all that makes him Christ. He is our great prophet. He is the great high priest. He is our king. He is our savior. He is our redeemer. He is our master, savior, Lord. He is our righteousness, our sanctification, our justification. He is our wisdom. He is all these things to us. He is our very best and most cherished friend. He is all these things because Paul says, you have learned him. You have learned Christ. You know all these things about him. You leave Adam behind, that kind of life, because you learned the great things of Christ. You've learned differently. So we have come to know Christ. We have come to know Christ how? Intellectually, in the mind, we have come to learn Christ. Because that's what learning is. You go to school and you learn in the head, in the mind. So intellectually, the Ephesians and even us, we have come to know Christ intellectually in the mind. And even more, Paul would say, not only have you learned Christ intellectually in the mind, but you have learned Christ intimately, passionately in the heart. You know him here, you know him here, and it's important that we know him in both places. We must know him. And Paul says, I was your preacher, I was your pastor, I was there, I taught you all these things. So I know. Paul could say, you have learned Christ. I was there. So this is a reminder to them, get out of the old life, get into the new. Just like I told you when I was there. Get on. So we have come to know Christ. And Paul, of course, he's been a pastor there. He personally taught these Ephesians. But in verses 20 and 21, Paul uses three expressions there. He uses the expressions of to learn, to hear, and to be taught. To learn, to hear, and to be taught. Well, to learn, to hear, and to be taught what? Because the answer is right there in 22. Or rather 21, it says this. Just as truth is in Jesus. The truth that is in Jesus. You have learned, you have heard, you have been taught. What? The truth that is in Jesus. The truth you didn't know when you were in Adam. That truth, you didn't know it. But now that you're in Jesus, you have learned, you have heard, and you have been taught. You have been taught all these things about Christ because you are in Christ. You are in him. So these words, when you listen to these words, to learn, to hear, to be taught, it kind of invokes this image of being in school. Because when we go to school, and when kids go to school, you're doing just that. You're learning, you're hearing, you're being taught. And Paul says, I was your schoolmaster. I made sure that you learned. I made sure that you heard. And I made sure that you were taught. What? The truth that is in Jesus. Not the truth outside of Jesus, because there is no truth outside of Jesus, but there is truth in Jesus because he is truth personified. He is truth. And you learned truth because truth is Jesus. You learned him. This idea of learning and of hearing and of being taught, it has everything to do with salvation. So when Paul is talking about these three things, these three expressions, he's talking about salvation. Because you learned, because you heard, because you were taught, you were saved. You were completely saved. You weren't saved in Adam, but because of these things, you have been saved. And because you have been saved, you are to have a different kind of walk. A different kind of walk. And here's the thing about Christ, learning Christ. You learn Christ because I've read biographies of George Washington, of Abraham Lincoln, of John Adams. I'm reading one on Thomas Jefferson. But here's the thing about those presidents, Washington, Adams, Lincoln, Jefferson, they're all dead. They're all dead. There's only so much you can learn about these presidents. There's only so much you can learn about people because they die. But Christ never died. And because he never died, you keep on learning more and more and more and more. Because Jesus, unlike all these humans, they died. He lives forever. And we're continuously, every single day, every time we pore over the scriptures, we're learning about Christ. That never ceases. It never stops. We never stop growing in Christ because he's alive eternally. We just learn and learn and learn. So we learn and we hear and we're being taught by Christ through the Holy Spirit, through the written word, over and over and over, because he never died. So he is the grand subject of the Bible, because we can continually take more of Christ into us. Because he lives forever. He is the grand subject, as I said before, of all the scriptures. And here's the thing about, because when you read the scriptures, when you read the letters of Paul, Paul is always telling us he's telling his readers, his audience, even us, to imitate him. Because he is imitating Christ. And sometimes he just comes out and says, imitate Christ. Follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow my example because I am following the example of Christ. But it's always follow the example of either him or of Christ. And here's the thing with young people today, even some adults, because they're always looking for a role model. And sometimes they tend to choose the wrong role model, the wrong example, because oftentimes what they pick is a role model who's not in Christ, but a role model who's in Adam. And they're just like those role models in Adam. But no, that's not the example we're given in the Bible or the instruction. The instruction says you have a role model, you have an example, you have a template, and that is Christ. That is what you are learning. That is your number one example, your number one template, your number one role model. As a matter of fact, God, it is his will to do what? To conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. So that is what it's important, very important, that we continue to learn and we continue to hear and that we continue to be taught in the things of Christ. Because ultimately, that is the will of God, that we become just like Christ. Not like someone who's in Adam, but that we learn Christ. That is it. Very important for us to know that. Every time we come to the scriptures, we're in school, and the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and he's going to teach us one thing, the things that Christ gave him to give to us. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell us things about himself. He takes the things that are of Christ, and he hands them down to us, and we learn, and we keep learning. So here's a point for the Ephesians. Here's a point for us too. When did their school begin? When exactly does school begin? Because there has to be a beginning, because they were in the dark, they were in Adam. But then one day, they found themselves in Christ. And when is that beginning? Because everybody has to have a beginning. Everybody. And here's when they begin to be in Christ, when they had an earlier encounter with the gospel message. When they heard the gospel message, because when you encountered the gospel message, the time that the gospel finally comes alive and you hear it and you receive it and you believe it, that is when you become a Christian. That is when you are in Christ. Because for you to encounter the gospel message is for you to have a relationship at that point with the living gospel, because the written gospel is an embodiment of what? Of the living gospel of Christ. To hear the gospel is to hear Christ. To come to know the gospel is to come to know Christ. To know it is to know Him, the embodiment of Christ. That is when they began their Christian walk. When they received the gospel, and they believed it, and they accepted it, and they trusted Christ. And school was in session, and school began. It's the same thing for us too. We have to have a beginning, and that beginning we know, it began with the gospel. The gospel. Paul calls it even the gospel of truth. Because you were not in the truth before. You were in this corrupted life, in this life where there was so much deceit. But now Paul says, you're not there no longer. You're not spiritually ignorant. Now you're in Christ. And the Holy Spirit is in you. And the Holy Spirit has given you a new spiritual apprehension to perceive, to understand. That before you couldn't understand, but now because you're in Christ, you can understand the things of the Spirit. It is a new life. But we should understand that receiving the gospel is receiving Jesus Christ. It's one and the same. It's not an it versus a person. No, the gospel is very much Christ Himself. So to receive the gospel is to receive the person of the gospel. And that's where it begins. That's where life begins. It begins in Christ and with Christ. And Paul says, you learned Him. You learn Him. Can you go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6? It says, so then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live in Him. You received Christ as Lord, your Savior, your Redeemer, then live in Him, walk in Him. Continue to live in Him. And in this interpretation here I have before me, the New American Standard Bible, it says continue to walk in Him. It's the same thing. To walk is to live. But because you did receive Christ, when did you receive Christ? When you received the gospel. When you received the gospel, you received Christ. One and the same. And because you received Him, walk in Him. Don't walk in nowhere else. There's no place else to walk but in Christ. That is where we live our lives. We live our lives in Christ every single moment of the day. We live it in Christ. So we don't walk. The Ephesians, Paul would say, you don't walk like a person who doesn't believe in Christ, like a person who doesn't know Christ. No, that is not supposed to be you. He says, if you are an Ephesian believer, if you're a Christian, you walk like a person who is in an intimate, passionate relationship with Christ because you learned Him. Therefore, walk in Him. Walk with Him. You learn Him differently. And this is so important because we were in darkness. Now we're in light, we walk in Him, and even Jesus tells us, be what? Go into the world, be a light. Be a light in this world. We can do that. Why? Because He is in us. He is the light. And we're able to walk in Him. And if we can walk in Him, then we should be walking in the light. And we should be a light to all those who are still where? Who are still in Adam. Even those who are in Adam, who aren't Christians, should look at us and know, okay, they're kind of different. They're different to us because they are Christians. They would know, okay, they are of a different light. They wouldn't call themselves darkness, but we know they're in the dark. But they know those Christians there, they're different, and those Christians should be different. They should not be like us. They should be a different kind of people. Totally different. We can't go back into the dark and then be like the darkness, like we were before. No, Paul says, you can't do that. Christ is in you. He lives in you. He dwells in you through the Holy Spirit. You must go out into the world and now be this light a light for all these who are in Adam. Now Christ, we know this, when Christ was on earth, we know that he spent many times, he had many meals with sinners. Who were these sinners? There were people who were in Adam, and Christ understood that. These are people who are in Adam. But Christ never went there and became one of them. Yes, he went there and he ate with them, but he never became one of them. And even so, those who were there, all those who were sinners, even they knew this is Jesus, but he's not one of us. But they enjoyed his company. But even they recognized he's not like us. He is altogether different. It should be no difference with us when we're out somewhere else, whether it's in the workplace or in school. People should not know. They should just know the different. Different kind of person. Acts differently, talks differently, thinks differently. He's not like me. But we used to be. But Paul would say, not anymore. You've learned Christ. You've heard him. You've been taught by him. You moved on. We have to move on. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, it says this, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught him, just as truth is in Jesus. And here's the thing about Christ, because Christ is not in the world trying to improve men and women. That is not what Christ is doing. He's going out throughout the world to improve humanity, to make them better. No. We know this, that Christ is in the world, and he operates through his church, and he is in the business of taking men and women, humans, out of the world so that they might be saved. Not make him better, but take him out of the world, that they might be his. And this all begins with the gospel that he gave us. But that is the role of the church, to go out there and take people who are out in darkness, give them the gospel, sow the seed, and pray the Holy Spirit will draw them into the light, just like he did to us, because we were there at the same place, and we too needed to hear the gospel. We too needed to hear the gospel. And this verse here in chapter 4, verse 21, it says this, if indeed you heard him. Here's the thing about Paul. He knows, he is absolutely confident that these Ephesian believers, they heard him. He was there, he pastored them, he taught them. So when he says, if indeed you heard him, he's speaking with confidence, you did. You did hear him. I know that. You heard Jesus. Yes, of course, the Ephesian believers, they were never in Israel. They weren't in Jerusalem. They never spent time in Galilee hearing Jesus preach. They were never there. The only thing they know about Jesus is Paul. That's all they know about Jesus, is Paul. Through Paul, they heard Jesus because they never heard him preach in Galilee. They never heard the Sermon on the Mount. They never saw all his miracles. They never saw all these things, all these wonders that Christ did. But they see it all through Christ or through Paul. So when Paul preaches to them, it's like they are hearing Jesus preach to them. They hear him. There's this verse here in Ephesians chapter 2. It's in Ephesians 2, verse 17. It says this, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Who? Who is Paul talking about? Paul is talking about Jesus. He says, Jesus came and he preached peace to you who were far away. Well, they never heard Jesus preach to them to tell them that you're far away. But they did hear Paul. When they heard Paul, they were hearing Jesus. They were hearing Isaiah, because this prophecy goes all the way back to Isaiah. He came and he preached to you who are far away. Because when I received the gospel, when I personally received the gospel, and it's a very personal experience, I know this. I recall these words because I know, and Jesus came and he preached to me who was far away. He preached what? The gospel. He preached to me about himself, about what he did for me on the cross, about the liberty I now have in Christ. But I know that I was far away, and he came, and he got close, and he preached to me. And he says, no longer are you far away. But we all were far away, and we all should understand that when we read the scriptures, it's as if Jesus himself was coming and talking to us who are far away, and is drawing us near. He does it through Paul. Can you go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20? here's Paul, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So here's Paul saying that we are ambassadors, as if God himself was speaking through us. And here's the whole point, because he is. Paul was very much being used by the Holy Spirit, by God, to proclaim this message of reconciliation, as if God himself was speaking through the mouth of Paul. So when the mouth of Paul was talking the things of Christ, it was as if Christ himself was talking and preaching through Paul. And Paul urges us all. He looks at this, we look at this verse, and Paul says, all of us, because he's urging all of us to understand this truth, that all of us should be in the business of taking this message of reconciliation into a dark world, into those still in Adam. And when we proclaim the things of Christ, it is as if Christ himself is proclaiming those things through us. Even Christ said, I will give you, I will teach you what you ought to say. And he does this through the Holy Spirit. He said, your words will be my words. And that is exactly what Paul has been talking about all this time. Ambassadors, reconciled back to God, because that is the message of salvation right there, that we were at one point sinners, and all the sinners were on one side, and there was one holy God on one side, and there was a big chasm, and Christ came, and he brought that world together so that he reconciled sinful man with a holy God, and he took this sinful man, a sinful humanity, those who are the elect, and he imbued his righteousness into them so that they too could become like God. Positionally, we know this, that we are righteous. We weren't before. You read verses 17, 18, and 19 in chapter 4, and you know, there was nothing righteous about me. If anything, I was unrighteous, ungodly. Didn't even want anything to do with Christ. As a matter of fact, it says right there that I was separate from Christ. I had no part in the life of God. But now, I am not only with God, but I am in Christ. A totally change of life. So to hear the ambassador, when you hear an ambassador, when you hear Paul talk, you know this, that he is talking directly for the king. He is representing the king of the kingdom. Whatever the king wants him to say, Paul is saying, he is communicating the very words that the king wants him to communicate. The very message that the king gave him is a message that the ambassador is taking to the world. This is the message of the king. Be reconciled. Be reconciled back to God because of the work of Christ on the cross. That you have a redeemer. You have a savior. You're no longer dead. But if you believe in him, if you trust in him, you will be saved. That is the message of Paul, of Peter, of John, of Jude, and all those. They were taking this gospel because they were all ambassadors. And we are too are encouraged to do just that, to be ambassadors. To be ambassadors of the great king. We weren't that before. Why? Because we were ignorant of all these things. But Paul says, you've learned the truth. You've learned Christ. You're no longer in the dark. Go, become ambassadors, proclaim God's word. Proclaim God's word. So to hear Paul preach is to hear Christ preach. And hearing the word always means receiving a message with a believing heart. People listen all the time. It doesn't mean they respond. But hearing, the way Paul uses it right here in this letter, in verse 21, to learn, to hear, to be taught. It has everything to do with accepting, with receiving, with responding. Can you go to John chapter 5, verse 24? I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. I will not be and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth. And this is the thing. We know this about Jesus, that he is truth. So in him, there's no lie. So when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, And in the old Hebrew version, it says this, verily, verily, or truly, truly. In other words, you would hear something like that in a school where a professor is kind of stomping his foot because he's saying something that he wants you to remember, or he's putting an asterisk by something, or he's underlining something because he's trying to convey, this is very important. You might want to remember this. So in the original translation, it says, truly, truly. Truly, truly, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him, you have to hear and you have to believe. You can't just listen and leave it at that. No, I said, you have to hear. And we know this, that faith comes from hearing. And hearing by the word of Christ. Paul tells us that in Romans. But he says, you have to hear my word and believe. And believe. Him who sent me has eternal life. Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from life, from death to life. Because there again, you have this concept of what? Of darkness and light. In Adam, in Christ. In Adam, there's death. In Christ, there's life. But we've crossed over. Why? Because we believe. We believe him. We learned him. We heard him. We have been taught. And we believe. We believe. And there's a story about Lydia. And Lydia was Paul's first convert in Europe. Can you go to Acts chapter 16, verse 14? Now, one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So here's Lydia, and she's listening to Paul, and she's hearing, and he says that God opened her heart to do what? To respond. To respond. Because thousands and thousands and thousands of people have heard the gospel over many, many centuries, and they never responded. Thousands of people will hear the gospel today in the United States, and they will not respond. But Lydia, because God opened her heart, she responded. This, like I said earlier, when Paul's talking about learning, and he's talking about hearing, and he's talking about being taught, has everything to do with salvation. Lydia responded. Lydia was saved by the grace of God. By the grace of God. She responded. So one can read all the Gospels. One can read all the letters in the New Testament. One can hear many sermons, all of his life or her life, and still not hear and still not respond. That is the work of God. That is his grace. Because such were we as well. I've heard the gospel in my early years. I've heard it many times. Went to churches. I heard many people talk about it. But at the age of 27, I heard it differently. I heard it differently, and that happened to me. And God opened my heart, and alas, I responded. Have you responded? Do you know? Yes, I responded. I've learned him. I've heard him. I've been taught by him. I know that I responded. I know that I am in Christ. I know this to be a fact. I know this to be true about me, that I am a Christian because I have received him. I have accepted him, and I have responded, and I am responding every day. I'm no longer in darkness, but I am the light, and that is what I have chosen to live my life with Christ and in Christ. Do you know that about yourself? Because we must. We must know. Why? Because it has eternal implications. Death and life. Have you crossed over? Because Jesus says, if you believe, and those who believe have for sure, absolutely, confidently, they know they have crossed over from death to life. Have we? Do you know that about yourself? That you have crossed over by the grace of God because you've heard the gospel and you believed it and accepted it and responded just like Lydia, just like her. And this implies something else too. When you look at Lydia, it says, God opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart. Who was that? We know that it was none other than the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who came and opened the heart of Lydia. The same Holy Spirit who came and opened my heart. The same Holy Spirit who came and opened your heart. It was God himself who does the opening of the heart. The same God. There's only one God, one Lord, one Spirit. And he is actively operating. He was operating in Lydia. He operates in us. And it is him who urges us to do what? To go preach his message of reconciliation, to be his spokesperson, to be his ambassadors, ambassadors for Christ. Because we've learning all these things. And that is a privilege. We should be filled with gratitude, with thankfulness that we have passed on from death to life. That is something that you should thank God for every single day. I'm no longer headed in the wrong direction. I'm headed in the right direction. I found that narrow path that's with a small gate that Jesus says, many don't find. He says, but we found it. We found it. We found that narrow path with a small gate, and we were only able to find it by the grace of God. And thank God for that, that we are on the right path. But Paul says, don't be content with that. Remember, you're an ambassador. Bring others with you. Preach the word. Teach the word. Be his witnesses. Do those things. Verse 21, still, I'm back in Ephesians 4, verse 21. It goes on to say, and have been taught in him. It says, surely you heard of him and were taught in him. You were taught in him. Well, what does that mean? We were taught in him. Here's another significant difference, because words have meanings. Paul just isn't throwing things out there. No, he means us to know something about learning Christ and about hearing Christ and about being taught in Christ. He's not loosely just throwing all these expressions out there. He means us to know what they mean. You have been taught in him. Very significant, very important difference about just any ordinary living that learning that takes place. We have been taught in union with him. We have been taught in union with Christ. Here's my point. Can you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10? As surely as the truth of Christ is in me. Okay, the truth of Christ. It's not outside of Paul. It's very much inside of Paul. It is in him. Now, there's this program like watching, and sometimes I invite my watch to see if she wants to watch this program with me. And she says, no, I'm not watching that program with you. It's a very silly program. I'm not going to watch it. It's of course, X-Files. My wife says, no, I'm not watching that silly program. You watch it. But anybody who watches X-Files, we know there's a character, Mulder. And Mulder, Agent Mulder, has a saying. He says, Coley, Scully, the truth. The truth is out there. But no, Paul says, no, the truth is not out there, because man is always looking for the truth that is out there. But Paul knows that the truth is not out there. Paul says, surely as the truth of Christ is in me. See, the lie is out there, and it's the lie that men and women go chasing after. But Paul says, that is a lie. But truth of Jesus Christ is not out there. The truth of Jesus Christ is in me, because he is the truth. And I am in him. That is where truth is. That is what Paul is wanting us to learn. Where is truth? People are very cynical about truth. Pontius Pilate, when Jesus spoke with him, looked at Jesus with cynicism, and he told Jesus, what is truth? When Christ was telling him about truth, truth was standing right in front of Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate, as cynical as he could be, what is truth? And he walks away. And Paul says, Paul would have told Pontius Pilate, well, truth is right before you. And truth, now that he has ascended, abides in me. He is in me. That is truth. And there is no other truth. No other truth. So we have been taught in him. To hear Christ and to be taught in Christ means that you're not an outsider. If you're being taught by Christ, you are not an outsider. You're very much an insider, Because for you to be taught truth, you can't be outside of Christ. You have to be inside of Christ. Now, we can all go to seminars. We can go to a science seminar, to a law seminar. We can go to a mathematics seminar. We can go to all these seminars and learn something. But here's the thing about all these different kind of subjects. You learn something about them, but there's always this detachment, this disconnection, because of all those subjects in the world, you're never in them. You're never part of them. You just kind of know something about them. But when it comes to learning Christ, totally different, because you are learning while you're in Christ. Because Jesus Christ is just that. Jesus Christ is the teacher. He is the subject, and he is the classroom. And all learning takes place in him. Outside of him, there's no learning. But when we're in Christ, learning begins to take place. We know him. We know the subject of him. We know all the things about him. And he is the atmosphere. He is the environment where all the learning is taking place. It's not taking place outside of him. It's taking place inside of him because we're in him. That is why it's so important we understand when Paul says, you were taught in him. You were never taught outside of him, but you are definitely taught in him. And that's where you're learning, and that's where you're hearing, and that's where you're growing. You grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ because you're learning while you're in him. Never when you're out of him, but only when you're in him. That is where the learning takes place. Paul says, truth is in me. Truth is in us too. It is absolutely in us. So Christ means for us to be insiders and to understand that we're insiders. That's where school takes place for us. That's where we learn. That's where we grow. When does this happen? When does this happen? When the school begins? At our conversion. When we become Christians. We receive the truth. The gospel truth. When we hear it, we receive it. We accept it. It's in us. We get this truth. The same truth that Paul's talking about. The same truth comes and abides in us. Because we know this. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And this truth that Paul's talking about is nothing more than the embodiment of the person of Christ. He says, truth of Christ is in me. Because Christ is in me. They are one and the same. Remember earlier when he said, we learn Christ. What's one thing we learn about Christ? That he is truth. And he lives in me. The truth is in me. The truth is in you. It's not out there somewhere in the world. No, it's very much in you. You've learned Christ. You have learned him. So we know that the teachings of the world are very much different to the teachings of Christ. One takes place outside, but Christianity, you can only learn true Christianity when you're inside, when you're part of a family, when you're part of a household, part of the kingdom, when you have the citizenship, when you've been adopted into the family, when you've become part of this new humanity, part of the one body. That is what we learn. And Paul says, you have it all. I taught you all these things. You learned, you heard, you were taught. Don't go back. You don't belong there. We know Christ differently. Absolutely. Can you go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 20? We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Okay, I'll pause right there. Because you know when you were in Adam, what does he say? Paul says that when you were in Adam, your understanding was darkened. You had no understanding, especially in the spirit, in the things of God. In spirituality, you had no understanding. But now Paul says, God has come and has given us understanding. We didn't have it before, we have it now. So that we may know him. We didn't know him outside of Adam, but in Christ, we know him. And we know him who is what? Who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. We know all these wonderful, glorious things. Absolutely. Can you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13? And you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And you were included in Christ. When? when you heard the word of truth, when you received the gospel, you believed, and then you were marked by the Holy Spirit with a seal. Where were you when you heard the gospel? In him. Because if you're not in him, you're not going to hear the gospel. But when you're in him, then your ears are made to be opened and your eyes are made to see. You're no longer blind to the spiritual things of God. No, now you see, now you hear, now you understand, now you perceive, and now you understand, I am in Christ and Christ is in me. A total radical transformation of your life happens. Very radical. But it all happens in him. Nothing happens outside of Christ. It all happens in him. In him. So we know that Jesus is teacher, he is a subject, he is a classroom, he is environment, he has all these things. All these things. And truth, can you go back to Ephesians, please, chapter 4, verse 21? Here's the last point I'll make, and I'll make it briefly. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him according with the truth that is in Jesus. And I'll go here real fast because I'm running short on time there. In Jesus. Notice here, because Paul, he always uses the word the Lord Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. He loves to use those expressions. That's the only way he describes Christ. But here, he doesn't say the Lord Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. He says, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. Because this is very important that we don't forget the historical Jesus, who he was. Because the truth is human. Paul says, remember the historical Jesus. He is the God-man, but he was very much a human being, a man just like you and me. He wasn't an immaterial thing. This religiosity or philosophy or one of those mystical things. No, the truth, the embodiment of truth was a real person. And this person was Jesus, the person who was born in Bethlehem, who lived in Nazareth and grew up in Nazareth, and who took on his ministry and he preached throughout the region of Galilee, who went before Pontius Pilate and he was put to death by Pontius Pilate, and that he died. He died on the cross and he was buried and he arose again, and that he ascended on high and is seated at the right hand of power. It says that is Jesus. That is the Jesus who is truth. We shouldn't think that Jesus is something else. He is human and he is divine. But Paul says, don't forget. He says Jesus because he wants to point all these Ephesian believers back to the human being that was in Christ. He was fully God, fully man. And he says, don't forget the historical Jesus. Why should we always remember about the historical Jesus? Because today, in modern times, in modernity, in contemporary times, there is this thing that many, even in Christian circles, want to do. They want to take biblical accounts, signs and wonders and facts. They want to take all these things about the Bible and discredit them, discount them. Why? Because they don't line up with science. So you know what? They just don't know. All these things that Jesus just did, you know, turning water into wine, no, that doesn't line up with science. Parting of the Red Sea, it doesn't line up with science. All these things in the Bible, they don't line up with science. So it's important to remember that what Jesus did, he did. They were factual, they were truth, they were real. And we remember the words of Christ when he told the religious leaders, these things, these signs I do so that you will believe. And Paul says, believe him. He was real. He is true. Believe this Jesus who I'm talking to you about, who I taught you, who you heard. When you listened, remember it's Jesus, the historical Jesus. We ought never to forget that, never. And what does all this mean? It means this. You were taught in Christ. The life of Christ is in us. It's not a theory. It's a life-given teaching. It changes your life. Paul says, you have been transformed. You have been changed completely. Don't go back. Why? Because you did not learn Christ that way. You learned him differently. Don't go back. So Paul is just reminding them. He's already taught them all these things. To the Ephesians, this is a reminder of what Paul already spoke to them when he was there in person, when he was their pastor. don't go back. Paul knows this. He says, because you have learned Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you and praise your Lord for your wonderful and glorious word. We pray, Father God, that we will know truly in our hearts, Father God, that we have been translated from darkness to the light, that we have crossed over from death to life.